Today's Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Russ Hochstein, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Yeah, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. All right, so before we talk, no, let's talk about Dana first.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Video came out New Year's Eve. I want to start with, and I've posted this, and I will continue to post it. No one should ever put their hands on anyone.
Agreed.
And I even go to the point of, and I put this on Facebook, no male should touch a male. No male should touch a female. No male should touch a non-binary gender, whatever.
Yeah.
No female should touch a female.
Yes.
No female should touch a male.
Yes.
So I'm not going to defend Dana because I don't want to be the next, what's his name? Skip Bayless.
Yeah, Skip Bayless.
But she shouldn't have slapped him.
No, she shouldn't have.
Now, somebody, and I won't say who it is, said, you know, they have a different relationship. You know, they met when they were 12. You don't think they roughhoused and clowned around and did, you know, when they were 12?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've never done that to my wife, but maybe Dana and she did when they were 13.
Yeah.
Messing around.
Yeah.
It will be interesting how this plays out. Of former videos, which I mentioned to you off the air, you know, of Dana's comments when some things have happened. They are in business with ESPN. You and I just talked about this.
Yes.
I do believe the statement I'm about to say. If they force Dana White out,
can't.
I think it will affect
they can't.
The UFC.
They can't. Because before Dana, what was the UFC?
Nothing.
It was a barbaric sport, and everybody hated on it. You can't force Dana White out, right?
Well, cancel culture, that you can press anybody out.
It does not matter. I think the interesting thing about this situation is it's not, because again, if it happens in football, happens in basketball, it's all about the public eye. The UFC fan base is a different fan base than what football is.
Except for, and somebody put this out, has any, and I have seen very few, one or two over the last day, fighters haven't come to Dana's defense. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I haven't seen anybody come to a defense yet.
Well, there's been...
And so what? How many people come to defense of somebody when they're toxic? Who came to Kanye's defense? Who came to Donald Trump's defense other than Dana White? Like, those people... Right. When somebody's toxic in this generation, in right. this, you know, cancel culture that we're in, people are like, oh, dude, I don't want to get canceled too, so I'm not going to come to your defense.
Can I switch just for a second? We'll come back. Yeah. Speaking of cancel culture, and I hope I don't lose my Buccaneer credentials for this comment.
Wow.
But Sunday was, I guess there was a party beforehand, and then Sunday Bruce Arians went in the Ring of Honor. And they announced Bruce Arians as the 14th inductee in the Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Okay.
He's not. He was the 15th inductee.
Yeah, they wiped John Gruden from the...
Right.
Because, yeah.
Right. But I'm saying, you can say he's the 14th member.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the 14th inducted into the Ring of Honor.
It's like saying...
Just speaking of cancel
the
culture.
Winningest coach ever is whoever it is, and it's not Joe Paterno. We know it's Joe Paterno.
Right.
Right? Yeah, Joe Paterno won those games.
Right, yeah.
Whatever happened, happened, right? And it's sad and it's tragic. But he won those football games.
For sure.
And he did those things that he did. Now, I think it's Bobby Bowden now, right? It's like he won those games. He did those things.
Right,
so
right.
Don't try and wipe away somebody's legacy because you want to save face, right? So
I'm just saying cancel culture, which is ridiculous.
We were at the stadium on Monday for the ReliQuest Bowl. It was Mississippi State versus Fighting Illini. Sure. And I.
Yep.
And Steve Lanay noticed
Duke
that
Preston,
they left.
Guy. He was the honorary captain.
Well, they left. They forgot to put Arians' number up on the thing. So all the players had their numbers, 99 SAP, and then Arians didn't have a number with us. So they got to redo the vinyl.
Why are you an idiot?
Why?
What number would Bruce Arians be?
Yeah, he didn't play.
One? You're the coach?
You stick up for this guy on a regular basis.
I stick up for you, too.
Well, but you should. But, I mean, oh, well, my God.
The players have numbers, right? Like, isn't it basketball where they have, like, there can't be more than six?
Managers in baseball have numbers.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. They have, and people have said this all the time. Like, you look at a basketball coach, they're in the suit and tie and all that kind of stuff. Baseball managers are in uniforms.
there.
And numbers and all that kind of stuff. All right, so I don't know if we're done with the Dana thing. We can continue talking about it.
I'll just say one thing about the Dana thing. I don't think anything's going to happen to Dana White. Again, like I said, like we've talked on air, I'm not going to put all my personal business on the air, but I don't think anybody should hit anybody. I don't think women should hit men. I don't think men should hit women. I do think as a man and our physical stature, we have a responsibility to not beat on women because we are physically more capable than them. And that's just a fact. Whatever you want to say.
Sure. I know what's going on.
That's just what it is, right? So, but again, in a split second reaction, somebody hits you, you hit back. That's just, especially Dana's a boxer. He's a fighter. People don't know this, but like he was a boxer for a long time. He grew up in the streets of Boston, right? It's instant reaction. Is it right? No. Do I think anything's going to happen to him? No. Two reasons why. First of all, call it what you want. Dana's one of the owners of the UFC. He's what makes the UFC go. He might not be all the billions that was put behind it,
right?
But he's what makes it go.
For sure.
UFC's big business. Billion-dollar business.
For sure.
One of the biggest businesses in the world. They're getting fighters from Ireland and Africa and everything. They're bringing all this stuff together. We saw what happened with the guy in Miami, the owner in Miami. We saw what happens to owners. Jerry Jones stuff, into nothing.
Right.
The owner in Miami, they were like, oh, hey, pay $2 million and don't come to the team until September. Season starts in September. I'm not coming to camp. I'm an owner.
Right.
Who cares? Right. So you see what happens to owner. Nothing's going to happen to him.
Well, I think the thing that's going to not happen is like because it wasn't. I don't think it was a violence. It wasn't physical. It was more of a disrespect. I think it was a reaction to the disrespect that his wife gave him in that situation.
He wasn't beating public. Up his wife. He wasn't fighting his wife. Like, it wasn't that.
I think it was a disrespect and just a reaction to
I think where outrage comes in is, and again, I hate making things about race. It pisses me off. I think everybody needs to, I'm going to strap your bootstraps on and go to work and who cares, right? But what the outrage comes from, I think, which will go unheard, is if that was, I think people feel like, that's not my sentiments, but people feel like if it was a person of color who did something of a similar sort, it would be way blown out of proportion, right? And then people go back to the Kyrie Irving situation when he posted that thing and this, that, and other. So I think that's kind of what's going on here. Again, I know you have your feelings about it.
And I know you well enough.
But I don't think anything's happened to Dana White. I think it was I hate that everything is videotaped. There are things that are good for video cameras, and like I'm glad we have proof. But that was a skirmish between people in a relationship, right? You remember not long ago, there wasn't even a video of John Jones when he allegedly, because I'm not going to speak on it because he allegedly hit his fiance or his wife, whatever it was, and people were like, this is the reason why John Jones can't do this, and he's this and that, and all this happened to him, blah, 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 and this happens to Dana White, and it's just like, poof.
My only comment about that is, and I know where you stand, and, you know, I know all that. I believe, and again, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I'm just saying this is what I believe. If Dana White was black, again, from the very beginning, I think Dana White would get the same treatment being a black Dana White as a white Dana White. That's me. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
I disagree.
Okay.
Now, I would hope that he should. I think he should, and I would hope that he does, but I completely disagree.
What?
In a perfect world, yes. In my head, yes.
Right. Well, that's where I live, in your head.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, I think that's how it should be, but I don't think that's...
Now, if he would have not said anything and just let that be the promo for the new slap boxing league, you know, then it would have been equal opportunity.
Been a great promo.
Men and women, anyone can apply.
I'm glad that you always have comic relief.
That was
great. Right. I didn't know where you were going.
Well, some people said that it was a setup. A
great promo.
Which it wasn't.
She was in on it.
I watched the video because initially I saw the headlines like Dana White slaps his wife. And I was just like, whoa, 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 whoa. Then I watched the video and I saw that they were in a heated discussion. She hit him. He hit her back, like, instant reaction. It wasn't, like, a malicious, like, they had that guy from the Seahawks who, like, beat up his girlfriend really, really badly. I forget his name, but he played at USC when it was at UCLA, right? So, Chad Wheeler, right? And it was a gruesome situation. It's not that. That heated discussion, she slapped him back. It was, like, a split-second thing.
It's still bad.
It's still bad. It's bad.
All right. So
but I don't think it's going to happen to
a couple section of the tournament.
So I want to slide over to, and again, I only saw it at the very bottom. You know, on the four-letter network.
Randy's like, let's get off this. Let's get off this topic.
Well, no. It's the same topic.
Yeah, okay.
It's the same topic. Did you see, I believe he's the USA soccer coach. So it's come out when he was
in the USA
18 that he kicked his girlfriend, who has now been his wife for 25 or 30 years. And he has to walk away right now as the head coach.
What?
Because of something that happened.
Okay. Just, guys, we have to stop this.
That's ridiculous.
We have to stop this. People are allowed to make mistakes. Whoever wants to cancel anybody, I'm going to say this on air. Whoever wants to cancel anybody, let me go back in your text messages, if you're old enough, for 10 years ago and 15 years ago, and let's have a record of everything you said and tweeted and posted on Facebook before Instagram was there and Twitter was there. Let me go see every. You're looking at Randy.
Yeah, because
Randy's supposed to say no,
I want to see Randy's dirt. I want to see his tablet. You said the tablet.
And I said this when the John Gruden.
His tablet was in stone.
I said this. Yeah, he was hanging out with Moses. That was his best friend as a kid. Yeah. I said this when the John Gruden thing came out. Let me see all your messages from 15 years ago.
Sure.
Nobody thought the same.
Right.
Like, so let's stop acting like I didn't even hear about this story. But 18 years ago, he kicked his girlfriend, who's his wife for 20-something years. Yeah. Obviously, she doesn't think that he's a assaulter.
Right, right.
Right? Or she knows him enough to know, like, this man loves me. Right? This is like, let's stop this, right? If you do something in today's society, knowing what's happening, knowing what's going on, is a different thing. But going back at somebody's past 10, 15, 18 years, what are we talking about?
No, that's why I wanted to tie the two together.
18 years ago, it was illegal to be married as a gay person.
Right. Right.
And everybody supported that.
And now a Buccaneer is now proudly out with an Olympic swimmer.
I'll be honest with you. Before Carl Nassib came out as being gay, I played with plenty of gay teammates who I know were gay. The team knows. I know plenty of NFL players who are gay. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. The media cares. But the people in the locker room, they don't care. You're a guy, bro. Like, I deal with you. And I don't care what you do when you're at home.
Right.
I don't care what you do sexually. I don't want to hear about it. Most dudes are married. They have kids. Like, dude, like, you're not talking about chicks and all that stuff. But we play together. Can I trust you on the field or can I not trust you? Right. That's it. Most dudes go to work. It's like your job. You don't care what your sexual orientation of your coworker is.
No.
Anybody who works at the pizza shop, you don't care what they do at home. It's like, dude, we come to work. Hey, do you do your job well or do you not? And we go home. That's most of the relationships. I have gay friends. Like, it does not matter. Nobody cares. Like, that stuff is so blown out of proportion by media, which is like, bro, like, focus on the main thing.
Isn't that a wrong statement? Don't people say that when you say it like that, you know, like, I have gay friends, so that means, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, like, no, but I'm just making a statement.
No, I know that. I'm just saying it's stupid.
Like, I got black friends. Like, I don't care. And again, I might be different, but like, I don't care about that stuff.
Right.
I'm just like, dude, like, how do you treat me? How do you treat me as a person? Am I interact you day to day? Do you improve my life or do you make it worse? If you make it worse, I don't want to deal with you. Orientation doesn't matter.
Right.
Color doesn't matter.
I agree.
Sex doesn't matter. Gender doesn't matter. You want to be identified as a wolf? I don't care. How do you treat me?
Just don't howl when I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, like, how do you treat me? And that's all that should matter. It's just like all these political talking points that they want to put. I hate the politicization of sports. I hate the politicization of everything. Like, can we all just be people? Can we all enjoy entertainment? Like, can we all just, you know, just live our lives and nobody affect anybody else in a negative manner?
Right. No, I'm with you. 100%.
Everybody will be happy.
All right, so before we hit the next break, I do have an announcement. Well, we'll take one an hour. I have an announcement about a guest next week.
Okay.
You going to be here next week?
I'll be here next week.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Well, next week, and I met him at a Super Bowl down in Miami. We are going to have on this program next week, James Young. Do you know who James Young is?
I do not.
Do you know who James Young is? Yep. Of course you do.
Steve Young.
Is it Vince Young's brother?
Yeah.
He is.
You said Vince because he's black. I said Steve because he's white. So we got to come together, bro.
Yeah.
We got to fix that, man. We're all equal. We should just be like, he's just one of the Youngs. Go ahead.
James Young, an original member of the band Styx.
Ooh.
Will be on next week.
Okay.
So
is that the sailing song?
Yeah.
Sail Away. Sail.
Well, I don't know about Sail Away.
It's like a 12-minute song with
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
I am right.
Styx is still around from the 70s.
That's cool.
Yeah. So James Young.
He's going to come here to the restaurant?
Big, big football fan. So we'll talk some football. Super Bowl.
What's he do? Does he sing? Is he a drummer? Is he a
guitar player? Guitar player?
It's mostly rhythm guitar player.
Steve needs to understand when he doesn't have a mic.
I have an electric guitar. Would he be signing that? Do you think that would be appropriate for me to bring
it? Okay.
Yeah, again.
Is that coming in?
A pen slides through the phone. So next week, we'll talk some Styx. We'll talk some 70s, 80s rock. Maybe do some research and find out some of the other number one top 10 songs of the rock band.
So Styx. I should come in here second hour because I'm not going to understand any of those classic rock songs.
Well, no, it gives you a week to listen to them. Mr. Roboto, right? Yeah, Mr. Roboto, which is what got Dennis DeYoung kind of pushed out the door.
10 years before your birth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, let's go hit the break. When we come back, we'll talk a few more things like former UFC fighter Phil Baroni and the situation he's in Mexico.
That's pretty serious.
We may never see him again.
Ever.
We'll talk about it when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong. And what were the Vince and Steve Young? We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Duffy Waldorf from the PGA Tour. And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift? Randy Harris here, and once you check out the vinyl image, your search will be over. This is the gift. Perfect for the man cave, she shed, kids' room or garage. Get your favorite band, animal, sport, military, or custom your own record design. I already put my order in, and so should you. Vinyl records are back. Tune in to Knockout Radio for details on how to win a gift certificate to thevinylimage.com.
You don't need to be in the military to take advantage of Military Case Surplus, where you can buy pre-owned storage cases up to 80% off. Most cases are waterproof, airtight, and in excellent used condition at unbeatable prices. Military Case Surplus is located at 8989 Elmerton Road, Suite B, in Largo. If you need it, they should have it. Call 727-276-8716 or come see them. We all need storage, and Military Case Surplus can save you a lot of money. And they're cool as well. Check them out on Facebook at Military Case Surplus.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. They have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, this is Phil Baroni, the New York Badass from the UFC. And you're listening to Talk Sports with Randy Harris.
Great job back at the studio. Did you hear the liner?
No.
Replay the liner, please. Maybe Caleb will pay attention this time.
Yo, this is Phil Baroni, the New York Badass from the UFC. And you're listening to Talk Sports with Randy Harris.
Oh, Phil Baroni. So I get a phone call yesterday morning, and I'm told I have a breaking story for you. I can't confirm it. And I'm like, then what good is it? He goes, if you can confirm it, you will have this first. And
well,
then
Randy, sorry to cut you off, but you want to be right. Not
exactly.
First, not first.
No.
A lot of people just want to be first, right. And they're like, oh, sorry, you made a mistake. So kudos to you for making sure you want to confirm it first, but
yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
You know, I reached out, I tried to make some calls, and you know, the person that told me was pretty sure he knows who told him, blah, 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 blah. It was this whole Phil Baroni story, who is in a Mexican prison right now. Oof. For murdering his girlfriend.
That's a bad prison to be in.
Yeah.
And people think American prisons have it bad. Go to a foreign country and go to prison.
So, you know, story, you know, it's still leaking out what happened, why it happened, allegedly, this, that, the other. The girlfriend, I guess, told him that she'd been cheating on him. Ooh. And then all hell broke loose. And, yeah, just not a good scene.
Dude, it's, again, everything is alleged.
Yeah.
Don't want to speak on it too much. But, again, it goes back to what we talked about with Dana White, like, we are held to a different standard. You're a guy, crime of passion, all those things happen, but, like, you got to be able to control your emotions. I don't know what he did. You told me about the story before I knew about it.
Right.
And
see, I hate saying I wouldn't, because you don't know.
You don't know until you're there.
You don't know until you're in any situation.
And, again, not to touch on football in a topic like this, but, like, I see fans all the time. I've got the same tweets as I see other players get tweets like, oh, if it was me, I would do this. Or I'd have been here if I didn't blow my knee out. I'm like, I blew my knee out. Everybody blew their knee out. Right. It happens. Like,
right.
You don't know until you're there. You don't know what – I've seen guys who are superstars on the practice field, and you get in a game and there's 80,000 people there, and you're like, oh, sure. I can't catch a football pass.
Sure.
Right? So it's like you don't know until you're there. And, again, like we said, like we talked about – and I'm going to forget his name right now – but the ex UFC guy who's fighting the attempted murder charge when he shot into the car
because his Cain daughter Cain Velasquez
right
another
when
Mexican
when he shot into the car fire. And it's like we all think like hey like if somebody in my family my daughter or my granddaughter or whatever it is gets assaulted this is how I'm going to react but you don't know until you're there
right. Right.
And he did what we all think we would do.
And I said that back then. He did.
And it didn't end well.
Right.
It's not ending well. No. Right? But he all did what we thought we would do when we were there. And we all say those things. But you don't know until you're in that situation.
Right.
And so it's like prayers up to everybody who's dealing with that. Murder is never good. Like, it's not. And I'm not going to make light of it. I'm not going to say, like, cheating or no cheating. It's like, dude, like, you can move on. And again, everything is alleged. I'm not going to comment on those kind of things, but it's just like, I hope everybody's okay. Obviously, somebody's not okay.
Right.
But I hope people can get, I hope justice is served how it's supposed to be served.
Right.
That's what I'll say.
Well,
right.
And I'm going to say it just because I'll take the other side of this because it's got to be said.
Of course you will.
But look, I mean, we think about the NFL being a barbaric, sport, right? And when you see the things
not anymore.
Like the Ray Caruth and like the, you know, the things and you can say, oh, it was a violent
Ray Caruth.
Well, Ray Caruth killed his girlfriend.
Yeah, like, hid in the trunk
of the car.
He just got out. Didn't he just get released?
He did.
Just got released.
Did not know about that.
Carolina Panthers.
They found him hiding in the trunk.
But the NFL had this stigma of being animals, right, and barbaric. And then you know, with the CTE, and then the brain, and the concussions, and all the things. The UFC is still such a new sport. It's only been around for 25, 27, 8, 28 years. We don't know.
It's been around since my whole life.
Well, but the UFC.
It's not that new. Right? UFC, I feel like an old started, man.
Well, but the UFC just had, it's 30 years maybe. Not even 30 years. But it's still a new sport. It's a relatively new sport. We don't know what kind of effects this is going to have. We already know these people are fighters,
I think we know.
Aggressive.
Because of boxing.
Fighters. But
it's worse than boxing on your body.
But what happens to them as they age? How they make decisions? How they process things? How they react to things emotionally after a career is done?
I don't want to hear that as an excuse, though.
It's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. And I have something to say about that. Because earlier I was talking to some guys, some ex-NFL players, and his name is also Randy. But he works with a lot of retired NFL players and does a lot of things for retired NFL players, right? And I think the UFC, the next step they have to take, because it's a phenomenal sport. I love the UFC. Like, I think they are
MMA.
We
love MMA.
MMA, right. People are confused all the time. Right. So I did the same thing.
Well, yeah, and I always say this because, you know, when people are like, well, what's the difference? People love football, but they always say NFL.
Yeah. Because that's the premier football place, but football's played in a lot of places.
It's the margarine of butter.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
The Xerox of commerce.
And then Bellator is that I can't believe it's not butter. But anyway, so MMA, we love MMA, right? But I think where football has made its strides, and it still needs to get better. It has to. It has to. Absolutely has to. Is care after players are done.
Yeah. Yeah.
UFC needs to take that next step. And again, UFC fighters, MMA fighters, fight for fighter pay, fight for pay-per-view points, fight for all the things you're fighting for, because NFL has been fighting for it for a long time, NBA has been fighting for it for a long time, football, basketball, they fight for a long time. Fight for those things. Well, and I support
the,
you.
And the UFC has a performance institute where they train fighters to perform at their best to maximize their efforts.
When they are done,
they need to have
equal care.
When they are done, they need to have a system in place to take care of these guys who put their bodies on the line. Cowboy Cerrone, years and years and years.
Tim Sylvia.
All these guys.
Still been an issue.
Years and years
arm.
And years. You train somebody. So this guy trained his whole life to knock people's heads off. And then you said, hey, you're done fighting? Go into the real world. That's a hard thing to do. Yeah. For football, it's hard to do. And I wasn't trained. I knocked people's heads a different way. You did it with your fists. I'm punching a dude. He's bloody in the nose. Right? Like, we all looked at the Darvin. Again, call back to Darvin Ham. We all looked at this and was like, oh, my God. We watched Kamaru Usman get kicked in his head and go to sleep. And we were like, oh, that was so dope. Right?
No.
Like, that was so cool to everybody. No. And he was asleep with his eyes open.
Except for you and me.
Yeah, except for you and me. Because, like, again, like
that's
I said, like,
guy.
Me and, like, I talked to Muhammad about this whole Darvin Ham thing the other day, and we had the same conversation about, like, we're warriors, this is what we do, and, like, it's unfortunate. But people watch that and are just like, that was awesome.
Right.
And then you see something else, and you're like, oh, my God, that's bad. So it's like, I think the next step for the UFC is finding a way to have some kind of pension program, have some kind of transition program. I think the NFL needs this, too. I think the NFL needs it for guys who want to get a pension, right? Because, again, I'm a guy who's going to get my pension soon. Right, I played 8 years. I put my time in, and I'm in that transition period now that I'm gonna have to go through the process, do my physicals, and do all these things. And I think when guys want to get their pension, they should go through a process of like, okay, hey, what are you gonna go do next? Right, like, what's your next job? Right, okay, you have enough money, you don't need the job. Okay, see our psychologist, see our this person, so we can make sure that you're okay. See these doctors to make sure. You don't have
so there's nothing
the gene.
Like that in place right now?
There's not.
Really?
There's not. Make sure you have this gene that makes sure that your CTE isn't detrimental to the people around you and yourself and these kind of things. And again, it's also, I'll get you in a second, it's also one of those things where it's like, it's not a thing where, it's not, those things are available to you, but it's not mandatory. I think it should be mandatory. I think to be able to get these assistances, and the assistances aren't even always guaranteed. I know somebody who has two hip replacements who's fighting for permanent disability. I know a guy who tore his shoulder up who's fighting for, he can't lift his son up. I said that earlier today. He can't lift his son up because his shoulder is messed up. He's been fighting for a year and a half to get a disability from the NFL, right? So I think the NFL should, and the NFL as well as the MMA, should do these things and take these steps to, when these guys came in and made you millions of dollars, billions of dollars, sorry, billions, right? Okay, they're not Patrick Mahomes. Okay, they're not Tom Brady. Okay, but they assisted in the growth of this company, right? You guys make billions. It doesn't cost you anything to make sure and have a program so guys can better themselves after they're done, right? What do you want to do after you're done playing here?
So with that being said, that's aftercare. So how do athletes end up in situations like the Jameis Winston Uber thing? Like how do athletes with that kind of status, that kind of money, that kind of resources, stars of the team, how do they allow these players to get into these situations at nightclubs and altercations? I know they're men. I know they're grown adults.
Yeah.
I get that. But are there resources for them? Like, hey, if you guys are going to go out
tonight, resources
here's
are,
the van, here's the limo, here's the company car.
Those resources are in place. There's a lot of teams. I probably will say, like, out of 32 teams, probably 10 teams in the NFL have Uber services that the teams pay for and that take care of those things, right? Guys make dumb decisions, right? Like, sports imitates life. Like, there's somebody dumb who did something in an Uber, right? Not talking about Jameis, but there's somebody dumb who did something in Uber or did something here or there. You just didn't hear about it because they don't play in the National Football League.
Right, of course.
Right? So those things happen all the time, man. Guys are going to be dumb. Everybody, and I love Charles Barkley's quote on this, and he said, I'm not a role model. I want people to stop thinking that everybody who's an athlete is supposed to be your role model.
Right.
I say that all the time.
Yeah, they're not your role model. That is a person. He has mistakes just like you do. Politicians are not your role model.
Yeah.
I don't think a politician, oh, he cheated on his wife. Oh, he can't be a good president. I'm like, dude, you know 10 people that cheated on their wife. You know 10 people that cheated on their husband. You know all these things that happen in day-to-day life. So like, it's like, stop putting people on pedestals that they don't deserve to be on.
but
they're not Jesus Christ. Right. Whatever you believe in, Allah, you know, Virgin Mary, whatever it is you believe in. Right? Like, stop putting people on pedestals. So
when you come
when you come into the NFL, all those things are in place. There's a rookie symposium.
Okay.
They drill you. It's mandatory meetings as a rookie. They talk to you about women. They talk to you about money. They talk to you, and it's mandatory as a rookie. You have to be on those things. If you don't go, you get fined. They used to have a rookie symposium. After COVID, they changed the rules. And, like, they do those things in, like, your team area now. You don't have to go to the symposium, but like, they do all those things. They talk to you about all those things, so you get the treatment, the teachings when you get in. But when you get in, it's easier than me when you get out. I played 3 years, not me, but somebody played 3 years, and now it's like football has been a part of my life for my last 15 years. How do I adjust to regular society, right? How do you transition this person to regular society? And it's like, I think that's the next step. The NFL does a great job. They do. And people love to hate on it. People love to hate on the head injuries and things like that. They do a great job. And again, I wish our Players Association was as strong as the NBA's, because the NBA's Players Association is it's freaking top notch. But I think the NFL can advance in that level. But I would like to see a mandatory program, like, hey, we're going to take care of you after you're done, right? We're going to take care after you're done. Go through our program. What do you want to do? Do you have a job? Do you need a job? Okay, you have $50 million. You don't need a job. Okay, how's your mental? Go through these things, and then you get your pension.
But are these guys going to listen? I mean, because the head coach of the Denver Broncos was just fired, and on his exit out, his reason was, I can't manage a guy that has more bathrooms than he has touchdowns in a season. Like, you can't, when the star player
money. That's why I'm saying
there's no,
you, like, make those things mandatory, because you can't. And that's the problem.
But the money's obscene. It's out of control. And listen, how do you make it mandatory for a grown man with $100 million?
You can't. But listen, though. That's why I said I would not coach in the NFL, not coach in college. Because in college, I said that earlier, how do you listen to most position coaches don't make more than the players? The players make way more money than them.
Right.
Way more.
Yeah.
On big salary.
But that's going to be the same thing in college.
It is. College is going. I think college will be regulated as we go on. But, right, like, that's what happens. But most guys are not Russell Wilson. Most guys aren't Tom Brady. Most guys aren't Dominican Sue.
Right.
Right? Most guys are, I played a few years. I played 4 years. I played 3 years. Well, actually, most guys play 2.5 years, right, and don't even get a pension.
It's like 2.33 seasons.
Yeah, most guys play like 2 years, and one of them is on practice squad. So you made $100,000, not $800,000, right? That's how most of it is. I would love to see. I think the next step for the NFL is, hey, everybody gets care. I don't care how long you played. It doesn't have to be 3 years on an active roster on, because that's what it is now. People think that, oh, you play in the NFL. Oh, you get you're set for life.
Right.
No, you're not.
Right. Yeah.
No, you're not. You still damaged your body for 3 years, but you weren't on the active roster. You don't get anything. We don't take care of you. Right. And so that's the next step, I think, for the NFL to do, is to take care of retired players more, is to have a program where, hey, you got to go through these steps, see our psychologist, make sure that you're okay as a man first, because you have a family, you have kids, right? You're going to have kids, you're going to have a wife, you have a girlfriend, whatever it is. Make sure all those things are okay, and then, okay, we're going to get your pension. We're going to take care of you. We're going to take care of your health bills. Whatever it is, injuries you had, whether it's in college or whatever it is, I think the UFC needs to incorporate that too, because I think that'll be huge for fighters, right? And I think it'll stop all this fighter pay stuff. It won't stop it, but it will kind of temper down a little bit, because if we're taking care of guys who are retired, who aren't Conor McGregor, because most guys are not Conor McGregor, who made $800 million right. fighting in the UFC.
Mayweather and Conor.
Yeah, Mayweather and Conor. Those are two guys. Like, most guys aren't those guys. So if we can set up a program where we can take care of these guys, I think that's the next step for those two platforms and programs and institutions.
All right, let's hit this final break. We've taken only two in 2 hours. When we come back, let's talk about this weekend's NFL.
Yes.
And I think you may have some interesting things to talk about.
And not only that, but we've got to talk about the next step in college football, because we have a playoff game coming up.
Championship.
Oh, I got lots of thoughts about college football.
Do we?
Yeah. Where have you been?
TCU was so impressive that they're even a bigger underdog on Monday.
Yeah, TCU and Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah.
What about that Georgia game?
All right. We'll talk about whatever we have left in the final 20 minutes when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm James Lofton, and you know who you are on the other side of the dial, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza. Tour de Pizza, visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
You don't need to be in the military to take advantage of Military Case Surplus, where you can buy pre-owned storage cases up to 80% off. Most cases are waterproof, airtight, and in excellent used condition at unbeatable prices. Military Case Surplus is located at 8989 Ulmerton Road, Suite B, in Largo. If you need it, they should have it. call 727-276-8716 or come see them. We all need storage, and Military Case Surplus can save you a lot of money. And they're cool as well. Check them out on Facebook at Military Case Surplus.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. And they have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit. Country Depot.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back. Final, I don't know what we got, 17 minutes of today's show. Then we're headed, it did fly by. Unfortunately, we had a lot of things to talk about. Then we're headed up to Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. May get some new equipment and get ready to blow up even more on YouTube. This weekend, a big game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they presently sit at 500.
Yeah.
And with a loss, this would be Tom Brady's first losing season in the 42 that he's played.
42. listen,
Oh, it's okay when you make fun of me of age. All right.
I was about to make a joke about you just now. But I think it's awesome. He's had such a great career. And even though they know they're going to go to playoffs, they know they're going to host a playoff game, I think this game means something to this team and to those players. Because you have a guy like Tom Brady. It's rare you get to play with a girl. I've been around him. I've been on a team with him. It's a rare air. Like I told you, like people always talk about Michael Jackson and Prince. When you meet them, they're like, they have an aura around them.
Right.
Kind of like you have like, you know, Ben Gay. Prince. You have like Ben Gay aura. You know?
Or Ben-Hur.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like they're going to fight for him. And they're going to fight to win this game. And I think the Bucks are peaking at the right time. And again, we talked about this a few weeks ago before they went on this little win streak. And I was like, these guys are going to win a couple games. They're going to crawl into the playoffs, and they're going to be a dangerous team. And I think they're going to be a dangerous team. Tristan Wirfs is back. Donovan's getting healthier. Shaq Mason's playing good football. The center and the left guard is kind of like a rotating door with the guys you're playing. The guy they have in right now, I don't know his name. He's playing well, playing better, right?
I'm not asking for any insider information, but is there any maybe a center that might be coming back anytime soon?
I do think – with this situation, and again, I'm not giving you any inside information, guys. I'm not giving you any insider information, wink, wink. But I do think Jensen has a chance to come back. Again, like I said, like it's one of those things. If this team's not making the playoffs,
yeah,
why come back in?
No, absolutely.
Risk a career? Because, like, again, I don't think people understand Jensen's injury. He tore everything in his knee, right? Maybe not catastrophic, but to an extent where it's like, hey, do you come back and risk a career or wait it out?
Sure.
But I know Ryan Jensen enough to fact that like he loves his teammates and he loves football, and he'll come back and play for Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Right. Well, he came back to this team because of Tom Brady.
Exactly. He did that.
Right.
That's the only reason he came back to this team was Tom Brady.
Right.
So if the Bucks are in the playoffs, I do believe he will come back and play in the game.
Let me ask you this, since you have played with Tom Brady. Is he human?
He is.
And the reason I'm asking, and I've said this before, when I first saw him the very first time, and then he played here in Tampa before he came to the Bucks, to me, he's like a transformer.
He's the best of humans.
You know?
if you, on our best form, maybe you want to talk about aliens, there's certain guys. There are certain people that you meet.
Right. That elevate
just,
the aliens.
Yeah, and you're just like, dude, like how are you possible? How are you this good at something? Right? And it's just like, it's so impressive to watch. And I never bet against Tom Brady. I just don't. I don't care if the Bucks won five games and got in the playoffs. It doesn't matter to me. I am betting on Tom Brady. I love him. And again, we're not close friends. We didn't play long enough to be like close, right, have a good relationship. But like, just, I used to hate on him for a long time. I hated on the Patriots for a long time. The dude's amazing. I think the Bucs are peaking at the right time. They're getting healthier. They're missing some pieces. Shaq Barrett, that hurts them.
Right.
It definitely does hurt them. Not having Jason Pierre-Paul, I thought Joe Tryon, I think is his name. Right. I thought he would make bigger strides this year.
Right.
And he, because I think he's a special player, special talent. I won't say player, special talent. He didn't make the strides I thought he would make. But I like this team a lot, man. Carlton Davis is healthy now. I don't know what Jamel Dean's status is, but they're playing good football, and I think they can make a run. I don't think they're going to be in the Super Bowl because I think they're missing a couple pieces. A couple guys are injured. But I think they win their first two playoff games.
Before I talk to you about, and we'll end where we kind of started, I want to tell you a real quick Tom Brady story. So Tom Brady was asked and got financially paid, I'm sure, to do a commercial for a car dealership when he was in New England.
Yeah.
And part of the deal, as was told to me, was the only way he would do it is if the entire offensive line was in the commercial.
Yeah.
Just so happens one of those offensive linemen, I don't know what it is about me and offensive linemen, but I'm always tight with those guys.
Yeah. We're all crazy just like you.
So Russell.
No, you just say offensive things, you need protection.
Oh, okay. So Russ Hochstein used to play in Tampa, used to do the show all the time, and he went to New England. So he's in the commercial. So during the commercial, Russ had a speaking line, and it made him look so goofy. Because it's during the commercial, he turns to the actress playing Tom Brady's wife or girlfriend, and he goes, "Hi there." And it was just so creepy. And so that Tom Brady made sure he got the best part in the next commercial. That's Tom Brady.
He's man, listen, like, again, I've been in the New England locker room. I know how stifled it is. I know how robotic it is. And again, it's worked for them for a long time. They won. Say what you want about Bill Belichick. Say what you want about that whole thing that they do things over there. It worked for a long time, for 20 years, right? 6 Super Bowls. Unreal. It worked. They needed each other.
Sure.
Because Tom Brady has a different coach. Who knows what happens to him? Who knows if he gets pushed to the level he got pushed to, right? So it worked. I know what it's like in there. But the Tom Brady in Tampa that I've seen since day one when he got there, since throwing the Super Bowl across the boat, you know, him being off the tequila, you know, Cam Brates holding him up, all those things. I love that guy.
Absolutely.
I love seeing that. I love seeing your personality. I love seeing real. Everybody kills Russell Wilson for not being genuine, right? They're like, oh, he's so robotic, and his team lost by 30 points, and he's like, oh, we're going to get it right, blah, 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 blah. We want to see personality. And then people don't know what they want, because people kill Aaron Rodgers for being too honest.
Right.
Then they kill Russell Wilson for not being honest enough.
Right.
And it's just like, what do you want? I love honesty. I love people seeing their – I love seeing players' personalities. I love seeing all those things. And I love it. I'm supportive of him.
Me too. The thing about Tom Brady and the boat and this, and it changed the total demeanor of Tom Brady, just like Peyton Manning – when he went on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
You know, they thought he was 100%. The square. He was, and then all of a sudden, hey, he's kind of funny. He's kind of this. He's kind of that. And now he's on every commercial every 12 seconds.
And then after the Super Bowl, he was just like, what are you going to do? You're going to go to Disney? Where he was like, I'm going to have a Budweiser and go hang out at home. And everybody was like, I want to have a beer with Peyton Manning. He's like, you know, like, it's like people want authenticity.
Right.
They want to, like, feel like, and I think it breaks that barrier. Like we talked about, like, NFL players looked at as jerseys and numbers and helmets. And it's like, when I can see your personality, when I can see how you are as a person, it, good or bad, I don't care. But like, I want to know those things, and I want to feel a connection to you.
So before Matt jumps in, I got to tell you this one real quick one. So you just said about going to Disney World or, you know, going to have the beer. So some people believe that Dexter Jackson was the Buccaneer Super Bowl MVP. Okay, and he was.
This might be before my time.
No, well, Dexter Jackson was.
2002, I was in Nigeria.
Okay, well, so play along here.
Okay.
So as you know, or you may not know, Disney talks to like the top 6 people, the top 8 people. Hey, if you're MVP, we're going to do this commercial, whatever.
Yeah.
So nobody talked to Dexter Jackson. Nobody expected Dexter Jackson to be the Super Bowl MVP. So when they were talking to him and they asked him about Disney, he made a comment, no, I'm going to Six Flags. And Six Flags reached out and brought his whole charity and brought everybody to Atlanta because he wasn't even on the list and didn't go to Disney.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was Brad Johnson went and, you know, rode in the parade and stuff. Just, I remembered it when you said that. All right, you're foaming at the mouth.
Well, no, because you're talking about how the human element of getting to know the players behind the numbers and all that. How do you feel with that statement you must have just said? How do you feel about Blaine Gabbert?
One has nothing to do with the other, but nice segue.
Blaine Gabbert is a hero. Like, not
you know
only,
the story, right?
I do. Oh, he,
you were out of town. The helicopter?
Yeah. I heard about that. I don't know if you sent me something.
A helicopter went down in the bay, and he was out on a jet ski with his brothers, and they went over and they rescued the family. And the family.
And the Coast Guard and everybody.
They went from the gridiron hero to an action real-life hero.
Well, the funniest part about that whole thing, and we got about 7 minutes, so I do want you to respond about that, but the funniest thing about that was, so after he went and saved, they went, because I was a little upset that they kept saying Blaine. The two brothers were on a jet ski, too.
Yeah.
The two brothers helped. So after that, he goes home, and his wife didn't know anything about it, and so he told him about it. Then they went to the Lightning game and hung out. And then I guess they have some fire pit where all the athletes hang out, and the bunch of the Lightning were there after the game and found out that Blaine was the one who helped save these. You know, they saw it go down. They saw the silver that was flashing and went over and saved these people. Definitely
cool. I'll say a couple of things about Blaine. I grew up watching Blaine Gabbert. When he was in Missouri.
I'm sure he likes hearing that.
Oh, yeah. I told him that. Because, like, dude, you got to understand, when Jacriss Rogers was my teammate, I was like, dude, like, you were, like, my hero in high school. He's a Texas high school football legend. Like, I'm a student of the game. I love football, right? So when I see these guys who I grew up watching, I'm like, dude, like, and I get to play with them or play against them, I'm like, I'm the luckiest kid in the world, right? So Blaine Gabbert was a stud in Missouri, first-round draft pick, I think first or second round, I think, did all he did, right? Amazing man, right? Like, me and Blaine, like, again, like, when Blaine first got there, I was a second team tackle, ended up becoming a starter, this, that, and the other. Like, but, like, I love Blaine as a person. He's a great man. What he did in those situations goes back to how, like, people of our, I don't want to say, people of our elk, people who think like we do, like, who put people before ourselves,
right?
Like, that's what we do. That's what you do when you're in the military. That's what you do when you're a leader. You put people above yourself. And I didn't even know about this story until I think Randy sent it to me. But, like, you go and you see somebody injured and you're just like, oh, I'm not running away. Somebody's injured. Let me go help.
He didn't tell anybody who he was.
Exactly.
You know, which
that's,
is the
beauty of that. That's the cooler part about it. Like, he's like, dude, like, I don't want recognition.
Right.
I'm not putting it on Instagram like, look who I saved.
Right.
It's, oh, somebody's in need. My brother's in need. Right? Like, my guy's in need. Like, oh, there's a sack. He was like, oh, man, I should have got rid of the ball quicker. Like, those are the kind of guys that you want in your locker room, that you want in the foxhole, so to speak, to use the, you know, comparison, right? But it's just, I think it just goes to show again, like, back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show, the brotherhood, the things that we do. Like, it takes a special kind of person to do those things. And it's not just football players. Like, it's leaders, like Matt, like, you in here, I know that if something happens at the pizza shop, you're not going to sit there and be like, oh, I got to record this for somebody to go see. Like, I'm going to go help.
He's going
to
give you a pizza. You don't have to butter him up.
I'm going to tie somebody up and put tires around him and light him on fire.
For us to see.
I'm going to bake a pizza on top of him.
Not for the world, but I'm just saying, like, it's one of those kind of things. And, like, it's a crazy thing to see. Again, like you said, you never know what you're going to do when you're in situations. But when you're a guy like that, when you're a guy like Kevin Holland, who's Superman,
yeah,
and he just goes and helps people,
because
that's how he was brought up. Like, somebody's in need, I'm going to go help.
Right.
Like, it's not about myself. I'm going to pull over to the side of the road and go help somebody. Like, it's
you know,
it's amazing.
The John Jones story in Newark, right? He's fighting for the title in Newark, or he was defending the title. I don't remember which. They're out for a run in Newark, and he stopped a carjacking.
I didn't even hear about that
one. This was early, like, his first defense.
Like, it's just like,
you just react.
You just react, man. And it's like, you have these people. And it's amazing. It's amazing. I'll go off on a tangent if I start talking again, but it's amazing. I love that for him.
No, it was great to humanize the football players, and I think we saw that Monday night with the injury and the heart attack. I think we humanized it. It made it real.
I think we need to humanize our athletes.
Yeah.
Because people just see them as entertainers.
Right.
and we need to humanize our athletes. So those are people who are doing a very hard job.
Because the modern day gladiator, right? Like the original gladiator, they fought till the death.
What was his name? What was Gladiator's name?
Mateos.
No.
No, Russell Crowe.
But like, you know, they laid it all, and that was like the sport. That was it till death. And you know, now we compare football as modern-day gladiators and pro athletes as modern-day gladiators, but it's a job, and it's entertainment. And they got to put their safety and their health first.
I said this when we had Natan on, you know, who was the Israeli fighter, and, you know, what he said at the press conference and whatever. And I said this, you know, then. Athletes are not role models, but role models can be athletes.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I think is important, you know, to get out there. Like Charles Barkley said he's not, and he doesn't want to be.
He's not.
But Natan is a role model for what he did and what he said. Blaine is a role model for what he did. You know, he did put his life out there.
Yes.
You know, anything could happen. Somebody could be struggling and could have pulled him down and drowned him.
And before we get off, I want to say this too. Great point that you made. If you want a role model for your children, for your family, be that role model.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do not look to other people to be your role model. Everybody's people.
I put your name on the list. Like,
yeah. Everybody's a person.
You're a better role model for my kids.
Right. Stop thinking like, oh, Kim Kardashian did this, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, she's not a role model anymore. She was never your role model.
Right.
Like, be what you want for your family, be that.
Yep.
Be that for your kids.
I have a new role model.
Who?
Vince Young.
Thank God this is done. A good show, good stuff. Our thoughts continue with DeMar. You know, hopefully some more news will come out, you know, up in Buffalo. Hopefully we'll see you next week.
You'll see me. You'll see.
Good stuff. All right. I had some things to break, but we'll break it next week. This has been Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Statson. See you guys.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.